The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
Four people have confirmed to have been killed and 52 arrested after supporters of US President Donald Trump stormed the US Capitol yesterday. I'm sure many of you will have been glued to the images in your TV screens last night. For the latest on this, I'm joined first by Paul Brandis, who's the White House Bureau Chief for West Wing Reports. Paul, what is happening there today? Are there any protesters still lingering around?
Well, there are some, and I think lingering around is a fair phrase, but there's certainly nothing of the sort that we saw yesterday. There is a much heavier police presence, and they are keeping folks away. Curfew was put in place here last night at 6 o'clock p.m. local time, and the mayor of Washington has extended this emergency for another 2 weeks, which would carry it through the inauguration of President-elect Biden, which, of course, is on January the 20th. So it's quieter today. A lot of these protesters are still around, though. I'm hearing reports that some have left. But the other thing, of course, is that you just mentioned in your lead-in a lot of these images that everybody has been watching on television. The FBI and other law enforcement officials are looking for these people, looking at these images, matching them to social media pictures and so forth. And they want to find out who these people are so they can arrest them. I'm not sure why they didn't arrest them when they came out of the Capitol yesterday, but that's where we are.
Yeah, we're going to be speaking to a D.C. police officer, Mark Kerwin, in a few minutes' time. But have people come to terms with what happened yesterday? What are people saying? What's the political reaction been, Paul?
I think people are shell-shocked. This is really, I wrote a column for the newspaper that I work with here saying I think this was the most serious assault on the Capitol since 1814 when the British attacked Washington, set fire to the Capitol, and then the White House. It's really the worst incident since then, 200 years. These pictures are stunning. And I think what is also stunning is the ease with which it occurred. That is what people can't understand. I mean, there were hundreds, thousands of these protest. I can't even call them protesters. It was a mob. And they overran the police presence there, which was clearly not big enough. There were about 50, the policemen you're going to talk to in a minute can answer this question better. But it's my understanding that about 50 police officers in the Capitol Hill police force had been away because of COVID. So they had kind of a, lesser force to begin with. But even 50 more cops wouldn't be enough to stop this mob from yesterday. So people are shocked at all of that, and they want to know what on earth happened, how could they have gotten in, why weren't they stopped?
And what are politicians saying, particularly on the Republican side, the likes of Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, and Ted Cruz, who's kind of one of these leading Trump loyalists, leading in the sense that he was one of those who was going to oppose the certification yesterday of Joe Biden's victory.
Well, a lot of Republicans are disgusted at what happened. There were some who had planned to vote against counting these electoral votes. Some backtrack on that position. Some, however, stuck to their guns and did it anyway. But I think the broad emotion here is that a lot of these Republican lawmakers are shocked and stunned, as the whole country is, that it could happen. And it happened to them. They were evacuated. Some had to hunker down in their offices behind locked doors. So all of this, kowtowing to Trump for the last 4 years, helping to being complicit in spreading his lies about these things, lying about winning the election, all of this stuff, it came home to roost for these people yesterday, and that clearly gave some of them pause for thought. Didn't give enough of them pause for thought, but some. And I think the question, Kieran, going forward here is, what is this huge number of supporters around the country that voted for Trump, 74 million, what are they going to think? Are they going to stand by and support someone like this? Even as a private citizen, Trump will probably remain influential to some point. What are these people going to do? Are they going to be turned the other way, or are they going to say, it's no big deal, the election was stolen, and you know, that's that.
So, what I was going to ask then, Paul, like, is there a sense that all this might backfire on Donald Trump? Because the narrative over recent weeks has been, like, unlike other presidents who get ousted, Donald Trump kind of maintains a stranglehold on the party. And you could see that in how, you know, the likes of Mitch McConnell, who I mentioned, kind of squirming in interviews as, he, as plain as the nose in his face, Joe Biden had won. He couldn't bring himself to say it for so long. Eventually he did. Like, might this be the beginning of the end for Donald Trump and that stranglehold?
Well, it's easier to be critical when you know that Trump is leaving in 13 days. It's certainly easier to pile on. But then, you know, Trump has brought this upon himself. And one sign that it's getting easier and that it could be, as you say, the end of Donald Trump, there's even talk, Kieran, among some Republicans to invoke the 25th Amendment to the Constitution, which theoretically could remove the president from office, even with just a couple of days to go. It simply requires his own cabinet to get together, and they would vote on it. And Vice President Pence, of course, who would have a say in that, he theoretically could become president for a couple of days until January the 20th. I don't think that's going to happen, but the fact that they're talking about it shows how disgusted even some of these Republicans are at what Trump has done.
Listen, Paul, appreciate your time as always. Paul Brandis, White House Bureau Chief with West Wing Reports. Mark Kerwin is a Washington, D.C. police officer. Mark, from, I suppose, your professional standpoint, what's your assessment of what happened yesterday?
Good morning, Kieran. Yeah, it was a complete shell shock to us all. As you can imagine, the Trump supporters, generally speaking, are very pro-police. But this wasn't a protest. This was a domestic terrorism. The fact that pipe bombs were found, Molotov cocktails were found, the fact that these people, these domestic terrorists, used chemical irritants against the Capitol Police. And just to clarify, I'm at Metropolitan Police Department, which is the police department that oversees all of DC. Capitol Police just protect Congress, the Senate, the Capitol building, and they have an 8-block radius around the Capitol that they protect. They have a police force of about 2,000 members versus we have roughly 4,200 members. The fact that the building was breached is a disgrace. The last time something happened similar to this, but not to this scale, was in 98 when a gunman came into the Capitol building and killed two police officers in the Capitol building. But this is even a far greater scale, you know?
Paul Brandis mentioned there the staff depletion because of COVID, but this was a planned protest, Mark. Like, I'm not sure how things work there, but in lots of other countries, if there was a protest planned like this right next to the seat of power, you'd kind of have riot police sitting in 52-seater buses waiting to be deployed in case there was trouble. There was no sign of them for a long, long time yesterday.
Well, we were ready, Kieran. We were outside. Obviously, for us to get permission to go into Capitol grounds, that has to come from Congress. The Sergeant at Arms, who runs the police, the Capitol Police themselves, we were ready to go, and we made a lot of arrests. And the Attorney General actually allowed us to go into federal buildings after this to make arrests for people who were breaking the stay-at-home order. And we did, and we made a lot of arrests. But like you said, this should not have happened. There are rumors that there were people seen in uniform taking selfies with the MAGA, with the Trump supporters. And some people said that they were removing some barriers for these domestic terrorists. So it's unclear, and I think until a complete study analysis of what happened and how they reacted is done, we can't really give a lot of answers. Just the fact that it was an absolute disgrace.
Mark, just to pick up on that though, that the removal of barriers, like, are you suggesting that, you know, that they were acquiescent in the storming of the Capitol, or were they removing barriers to relieve crowd pressure?
It was probably to relieve crowd pressure. Like, they were completely overwhelmed. There's no way the amount of officers that were there would be able to handle such a crowd. And also, the fact that the crowd were armed with chemical irritant. You know, once you're sprayed with chemical irritant, it's very hard to do your job. We had a lot of injuries, a lot of police officers, some knocked unconscious. But you also have to realize that the second sort of level of security to be called in is the National Guard. Because DC is a district and not a state, we don't have a governor. We've got a mayor. So we can't call in the National Guard as a city. It has to come from the president. And it was actually Vice President Pence who called in the National Guard, but they didn't get there till after 5:30. So it just goes to show that it was completely, completely misread. And as you said, there should have been, like, I can give you an example. On June 1st, 2020, during the protests on the street, Trump had arranged for not just National Guard, but for airmen to come in from all around the country. They flew into Andrews Air Force Base and were deployed on the corners of the city. Which frustrated us a lot as a local police department because, you know, we weren't notified of it. And some of the units that came in were not wearing identification. So therefore, we didn't know whether they were protesters or actually military or police or whatever, you know.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Mark, when you say it was misread, like, do you suspect the situation was intentionally misread? Like, I can't imagine that if those were Black Lives Matter protesters who stormed the Capitol last night, we'd have watched hours, literally hours of footage before the National Guard showed up.
I think that if you look back at June and the protests and the way the presidency reacted to that and had so many different forces deployed to counteract the protesters, and it was done so well, that the way, basically what I think is that Trump threw petrol on the fire, and that his speech in the morning at the rally saying we will march to the Capitol, that was it. That was the nail in the coffin. And a lot of people just, who are very loyal to him, decided to do that. But I would say that after yesterday and after the debacle, anybody who supports him or supports what he fights for, they have to be classified as a domestic terrorist because, you know, you can't siege the U.S. Capitol building and try and injure and hurt members of Congress, police officers and aides and whoever else was there.
Mark, people would have picked up on the accent. I think they'll realize you're of this parish, a tip man. Like, what does the scenes yesterday, what do they make you think about your adoptive homeland?
It makes me want to move home. this is like something out of a movie, you know, and I'm sure it will be in future years to come, because it's just chaotic, it's embarrassing, and you know, it's putting us as well as police officers in the line of fire at the greater risk of being injured and shot. So it's very, very nerve-wracking, and you know, it's, I work in the Special Operations Division, so I work citywide and we handle all this stuff. And one of the major issues we're going to have is the inauguration. Everyone was saying, well, this is going to be a much smaller inauguration. And because of that, we may not need the manpower. Well, yesterday just said it all. You know, you've got the mayor extending the emergency until the 21st, until the day after the inauguration, and we'll be out in force.
All right, Mark Kerwin, Washington, D.C. police officer, like I said, a tip man as well. Mark, listen, we really appreciate you joining us here on The Hard Shoulder, and we might speak to you again before that inauguration about the plans and your own plans and how you plan and your colleagues plan to police it, because I'm sure, as you said, it's going to be a real headache, a real problem based on what you saw yesterday.